You are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
From a book by Benjamin Hoff titled The Tao of Pu. Let's take an example from the writings of Chuang Tse. At the Gorge of Lu, the great waterfall plunges for thousands of feet, its spray visible for miles. In the churning waters below, no living creature can be seen. One day, Kung Fu Tse was standing at a distance from the pool's edge when he saw an old man being tossed about in the turbulent water. He called to his disciples, and together they ran to rescue the victim. But by the time they reached the water, the old man had climbed out onto the bank and was walking along, singing to himself. Kung Fu Tse hurried up to him. "You would have to be a ghost to survive that," he said, "but you seem to be a man instead. What secret power do you have?" "Nothing special," the old man replied. "I began to learn while very young and grew up practicing it. Now I am certain of success. I go down with the water and come up with the water. I follow it and I forget myself. I survive because I don't struggle against the water's superior power. That's all."
I like Tai Chi, and I practice a form designed by Master Moi Lin Shin to enhance health. In its more martial forms, the basic idea is to wear the opponent out either by sending energy back or deflecting it away in order to weaken the opponent's power balance and position for defense. Never is force opposed with force. Instead, it's overcome by yielding. The Wu Wei principle behind Tai Chi can be understood if we imagine striking a cork floating in water. The harder you hit it, the more it yields. The more it yields, the harder it bounces back. Without expending energy, the cork can easily wear you out. So Wu Wei overcomes force by neutralizing its power rather than by adding to the conflict. You don't fight fire with fire, but with water. Now let's enter another world to help elucidate Taoism in action. By the time it came to the edge of the forest, the stream had grown up, so it was almost a river, and being grown up did not run and jump and sparkle along as it used to when younger, but moved more slowly. For it knew now where it was going, and it said to itself, "There is no hurry. We shall get there some day." So relax and enjoy today's explication of the principle of Wu Wei using the collective wisdom of A.A. Milne, Benjamin Hoff, and me. When we learn to work with our own inner nature and with the natural laws operating around us, we reach the level of Wu Wei. We operate on the principle of minimum effort. Trying too hard and interfering with the supporting network of natural laws produces an overloaded brain and mistakes. For a basic example of the Pu Wei, recall the children's story that Helen told. I particularly liked the ending. "Well done, Pooh," said Rabbit kindly. "That was a good idea of ours." Cleverness, as usual, takes all the credit it possibly can, but it's not the clever mind that's responsible when things work out. It's the mind that sees what's in front of it and follows the nature of things. When you work with Wu Wei, you put a round peg in a round hole and a square peg in a square hole. No stress, no struggle. Egotistical desire tries to force the round peg into the square hole and the square peg into the round hole. Cleverness tries to devise craftier ways of making pegs fit where they don't belong. Knowledge tries to figure out why round pegs fit round holes but not square holes. Wu Wei doesn't try. It doesn't think about it. It just does it. And when it does, it doesn't appear to do too much of anything. But things get done. When you try too hard, it doesn't work. If you try grabbing something with a tense arm, it doesn't work. With a relaxed arm, you've got a better chance. Or if you think of a golf swing, you're much more likely to slice the ball into the rough if you fail to relax and ease into the motion. Similarly, doing something with a tense mind causes you to overlook the obvious. The surest way to become tense, awkward, and confused is to think too much. To misquote an old Western philosophy, I think, therefore I am confused. Down through the ages, people have developed minds which separate them from the world of reality. It leads to beliefs like being superior to animals, as opposed to being part of the interconnected web of life. High intelligence can be very inefficient, going here and there, backwards and forwards, and failing to concentrate on what it's doing. Pierre Curie, dearly beloved husband of Marie Curie, was killed in the street. He walked into a horse-drawn vehicle. Minds driving their cars but going through lists of what they're going to buy have accidents. When you work with Wu Wei, you have no real accidents. Things may get a little odd at times, but they work out. You let them work out. Let's recall the search for small. Small, which is short for very small beetle, disappeared one day on his way around a gorse bush. Nobody knew what happened. So the search was begun and everyone was trying very hard to find Small. Everyone, of course, had been organised and directed by Rabbit. Everyone, of course, except Pooh. Oh, ow! Squeaked something. That's funny, thought Pooh. I said ow without ooing. Help! Said a small high voice. That's me again, thought Pooh. I've had an accident and fallen down a well, and my voice has gone all squeaky and works before I'm ready for it because I've done something to my inside. Bother! Help! Help! There you are. I say things when I'm not trying. It must be a very bad accident. And then he thought perhaps when he did try to say something, he wouldn't be able to. So to make very, very sure, he said loudly, "A very bad accident to Pooh Bear." Pooh! Squeaked the voice. It's Piglet! Cried Pooh eagerly. Where are you? Underneath! Said Piglet, in an underneath sort of way. Underneath what? Well, after that had been straightened out, Pooh! He cried. There's something climbing up your back. I thought there was, said Pooh. It's Small! Cried Piglet. Now, this sort of thing happens to people who do things by the poo way and don't succumb to thoughts like, this can't be happening to me, and trying very hard to make things happen another way. Let's take another example of letting things unfold rather than planning for the perfect outcome. Eeyore's birthday, as arranged by Pooh and Piglet. Pooh discovered after Eeyore told him that it was Eeyore's birthday. He went home to get a jar of honey to use as a birthday present, and he talked it over with Piglet, who decided to give Eeyore a balloon that he'd saved from a party of his own. When Piglet went to get to the balloon, Pooh walked off to Eeyore's with the jar of honey. But after a while, he started to get hungry. So he sat down and took the top off his jar of honey. Lucky I brought this with me. Many a bear going out on a warm day like this would never have thought of bringing a little something with him, and he began to eat. Now, let me see, he said, and as he took the last lick of the inside of the jar, where was I going? Ah, yes, Eeyore's. He got up slowly, and then suddenly he remembered. He'd eaten Eeyore's birthday present. Well, most of it anyway, fortunately, he still had the jar. And since he was passing Hundred Acre Wood, he went in to see Owl and had him write a happy birthday on it. After all, it was a nice jar, even with nothing in it. Meanwhile, Piglet had fetched the balloon. He held it tightly against himself so it shouldn't blow away and ran as fast as he could to get to Eeyore's before Pooh did, for he thought he would like to be the first one to give the present before being told by anybody. And running along, thinking how pleased Eeyore would be, he tripped and... Yes, well, after Piglet fell on Eeyore's balloon, it wasn't so... Well, it was more... That is, it was... Balloon, said Eeyore. You did say balloon. One of those big, colourful things you blow up. Gaiety, song and dance, here we are and there we are. Yes, but I'm afraid, I'm very sorry, Eeyore, but when I was running along to bring it to you, I fell down. Dear, dear, how unlucky. You ran too fast, I expect. You didn't hurt yourself, little piglet. No, but, Eeyore, I burst the balloon. There was a long silence. My balloon, said Eeyore at last. Piglet nodded. My birthday balloon. Yes, Eeyore, said Piglet, sniffling a little. Here it is, with many happy returns of the day, and he gave Eeyore the small piece of damp rubber. Is this it? Said Eeyore, a little surprised. My present. The balloon. And then Pooh arrived. I brought you a little present, said Pooh excitedly. I've had it, said Eeyore. Pooh had now splashed across the stream to Eeyore, and Piglet was sitting a little way off, his head in his paws, snuffling to himself. It's a useful pot, said Pooh happily, and it's got very happy birthday and love from Pooh written on it. That's what all that writing is. And it's for putting things in. Then Eeyore discovered that since the balloon was no longer as big as Piglet, it could be easily put in the useful pot and taken out again whenever it was needed, which certainly can't be done with the typical unmanageable balloon. I'm very glad, said Pooh happily, that I thought of giving you a useful pot to put things in. I'm very glad, said Piglet happily, that I thought of giving you something to put in the useful pot. But Eeyore wasn't listening. He was taking the balloon out and putting it back in. As happy as can be. So it all worked out. At its highest level, Wu Wei is indefinable and practically invisible because it's become a reflex action. In the words of Chuang Tse, the mind of Wu Wei flows like water, reflects like a mirror, and responds like an echo. Using Wu Wei, you go by circumstances and listen to your intuition. This isn't the best time to do this. I'd better go that way. Like that. When you do that sort of thing, people may say that you have the sixth sense, but all it really is being sensitive to circumstances. That's just natural. It's only strange when you don't listen. Now, I'm not seriously suggesting that you give up planning your children or your grandchildren's birthday parties, or that you give up systematically hunting for your keys, purse, or phone when, like small, they unaccountably disappear. That would be far too literal approach to Wu Wei, as approached by Benjamin Hoff, whose book, The Tao of Pooh, was my inspiration today. Rather, allow some space for things to happen or turn up. Constant, effortful striving is inefficient, and it excludes the contributions of others. My father was an exceptionally good school principal, and he regularly unconsciously used the principle of Wu Wei when faced with complaints. He would sit there and listen and listen and listen while someone sounded off, or vented, as we'd say these days, and begin to speak only when, as he would tell my mother later, when there was no more wind left in their sails. And of course, once some of that combative energy had been discharged, all parties are freer to concentrate on looking for a solution. In this past month of observance, many of us have tried to make time to think about our thinking, or to change our habits of mind, break bad habits, or establish good ones. If you've hit a boulder, hopefully you can flow around it, which may mean tweaking it a little. Today's exploration of the Poo Way may provide you with a lens to use when examining your life, or it might provide an approach to life, especially when we foresee conflict, difficulties, or setbacks. These are, after all, inevitable in life. Or you just may have been pleasantly diverted for half an hour or so. However it's been for you, please do stay for coffee, tea, and a chat.
We hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianessay@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching Essay Unitarians.